friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Val.
Courtney.
And Lisa. And we're here with
Lee.
And Stu.
Yeah. And we're excited to hear your love story. Oh, Lee and I work together. And I was so excited because she says awesome things about Stu all the time. I'm like, I want to hear it.
Cool. Me too.
She does
say nice things about you.
Yep. Yeah. Only good things. All good. So, yeah. So I always like to kind of figure out, like, who were you before you were together?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, yeah, what were you doing in life?
Stu, tell us about you. Yes. Yeah. Let's start with you, Stu.
How far back do we go?
Just wait till you grow up.
Yeah, I mean, from the beginning.
From the beginning. grew up in Pasadena, California, so mm-hmm. Southern California. That's kind of been a home for, you know, generations of family down there. And went to college up in the Bay Area, to Berkeley in San Francisco area. And then from there, I know I'm pretty shortening a lot of things, but then that's where Lee and I met up in the Bay Area. So before meeting her,
were you looking for Lee? What were you looking up to?
I guess kind of yes and no.
He was on the prowl.
Love it.
I guess there was, you know, just kind of like post-college, you know, young, quote-unquote professional group that, you know, we're hanging out with.
One of my friends that was a major ladies' man. Stu wanted to be a ladies' man.
Yeah.
He wanted to be, like, rich.
Yes,
like, really, you just wanted a relationship.
Were you, was it 90s that you were in Berkeley?
I was in Berkley late 80s, early 90s.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How fun. I bet that was really fun.
Yeah, it was. It was a great mm-hmm. campus. I broke up my college into two parts. So I did my first 2 years, took 4 years off, and then came back and finished after that four-year hiatus. Traveled to Europe a couple times,
nice.
Worked as, you know, busboy, surfed a lot down in Southern California. Didn't live. No, actually, I was at home for a little bit. My parents' home, Chalidon, but also down at a condo down at the beach.
That sounds like a great hiatus.
It was good. Got my head straight, went back to school, finished, graduated.
He was down in Laguna for a little while.
Not bad. Yeah. Why did you go back to school?
I know. It was a goal. I mean, it definitely was a goal. I needed to finish. I knew I needed to finish, but I just wasn't ready the first go round. You
know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Not alone. Yeah. How about you, Lee? What were you up to?
Grew up in Canada, moved to California when I was 17, and so did a year of high school in La Jolla, culture shock. Mm-hmm. And then, did university and had lived in Europe, and when university was Santa Barbara. And lived in Europe.
So you both lived in Europe for a time?
I lived there. He just traveled.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I really skipped. I did. Yeah, after I went to UC Santa Barbara, I was pre-med and didn't. And then I decided not to go to med school. And so I kind of was like, oh, what am I going to go do? And so I worked abroad. And because I'm Canadian, I could get a 2-year work visa. And I waited tables in London and kind of did that and then traveled. And
love
he
London.
Hates my Europe stories. Oh, like, do I have to listen to how she like milked cows in Switzerland? And yeah, loves my Europe stories.
Okay, I want to hear him sometimes.
Oh yeah, drop him out now. Then I came back and ended up in graduate school in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And before I went to San Francisco for grad school, I worked at a restaurant, and I worked with a bunch of people. And the guy Rich that introduced us to
the ladies' man.
The ladies' man.
Rich, if you're listening to this.
We'll talk later. And my boyfriend, a bunch of us moved to San Francisco together, but it didn't work with my boyfriend and I, like, at all. Like, I was in grad school and he was still, you know, in undergrad and partying. And so that didn't work. And, but Rich and I stayed friends and, you know, they met and.
Met at work. Rich
at
and
work.
I work at,
yes.
Yeah, we're working together.
Oh, yeah. Are you guys still in touch?
Yeah.
He was in our wedding.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, right. So we met. I guess you guys are going to ask us those questions. But yeah, I was living in San Francisco, just finished graduate school, and he was living in Oakland, and he had been working for a year, and he was living in the basement of a family that he cleaned their house for. He put their vacuum in his, like, backpacking backpack, cleaned their house. So he didn't have to
hire.
He also lived in the basement of a sorority during college when he went back, so he didn't have to pay. That's how he got one of his girlfriends.
They didn't let us have boys in my sorority. Oh, but nice
this thing. Was like, and I was literally the basement dweller of a sorority. I was waiting behind the kitchen. And they call it at the corner. I guess probably still call them house boys.
Yes. What was a houseboy?
What was our role? A couple different things. Yeah. So, overall, just kind of, we're bus boys. So there's actually like a pretty well established professional cook.
We have an
official. But you were not the cook.
I was part of the bus boy.
I was the bus boy. During the weekends, there was no cook during the weekend. Uh-huh. So I was like the brunch layout, the brunch food guy too.
It's a pretty good deal because don't you get free room?
I think
that Owen and his friends have talked about. They're like, it's the best gig.
Fraternity houses are beautiful.
Yeah. Compared to the fraternity
houses. Oh, God, yeah. I was in a fraternity the first time.
Yeah, you walk in the fraternity. Yeah. It was all good until 15 years later or so. We were at a work party in Rancho Santa Fe, super rich place, and his boss's wife comes up to Stu and goes, "Oh my gosh, Stu! The house boy!" So it was pretty funny. Like, who?
Anybody that lived with us, we just had house boys that came
come in
and they get free food. They get free food. So basically, they would basically just almost pretty much just get free food free food and a little bit of token, like, here's your quarter.
They just wanted the free nibbles.
Yeah, and then the scoop on the girls.
Yeah.
So your friend who introduced you guys, so you guys worked together, and then I forget how to
do it. So we worked in San Diego. I worked at a restaurant with a whole bunch of people, and Rich moved up before I did, the one who introduced us with a girlfriend that we worked together, and then they broke up. And then I moved up with my boyfriend. And a couple other people moved up there. And so then everybody broke up, but we were all still friends. And Stu met Rich.
At work, yeah.
Yeah, and he said, because Rich and I, he didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't have a boyfriend. We were friends. We were hanging out. And he was really into foot tickles at that point. I was like, this is Rich.
So and Rosie, if you're listening to this.
Foot tickles.
Rich and Rosie. I don't know if Rosie knows about your foot tickle.
Maybe he outgrew it. But you're like, don't touch my foot.
Rosie's like, foot tickles.
But he said, I have this friend that is rock climbs, and he needs someone that knows how to belay, and I knew how to belay. And so, and I'd just been like indoor rock climbing, but he'd been doing more outdoor. And so I said, yeah, I'll go.
Was your first date was rock climbing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't an official date though. Mm-hmm. Because
so if you didn't like him, it was pretty easy to end the date. Well, totally. And it wasn't even like to set us up, because it was Rich invited me to come, and I had this old yucky car, and I picked up Rich and this girl, Christina, and they all worked at Deloitte & Touche together. And we drove to Denny's across the bay in Emeryville. And he comes out in this old BMW, tie-dye pants, Ray-Bans, this t-shirt, and like looks like this totally hip dude. He's so preppy. Like, it was like such a lie. He came out and I said, oh, yeah, okay, I have to go pee. And so I go with this gal, Christina. I'm like, so are you dating anyone? And she said, well, Stu and I are kind of hooking up. And I said, okay. And then it was just like, all right, then that's that.
But did you kind of like, had a spark?
Well, this was when I first got there. So I, I was like, oh, he's cute. Like, he's got a good face. but then we did rock climb that day. And the joke is that he liked the view because.
I mean, you're like harnessed in. Your cheeks are out.
Yeah, there it is. Everything's on display.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's like pretty much when you're belaying, that's like all
you
can see.
And you're supposed to. You were a good belayer, I bet. He was like on point.
Yes.
He was Mr. Safety. And then we went out to a restaurant in Berkeley that has like these, what's that name of that place?
Intermezzo.
Intermezzo, the big salads and like just bread that now would kill me because like too much gluten, but I loved it. Probably just had gas in it. But we sat there and I guess I was right across from it and the sun was in my eyes.
The sun was shining pretty nicely on her eyes. I was mesmerized.
She was glowing.
Yes. So he calls Rich to ask if we were dating.
That night. So let's get the facts straight. I call him right away. I'm like, Rich, what's the deal? Because, yes, I mean, I won't say all these other names of all the people. But so, yeah, because I was not really involved with who I was.
The girl that said she's kind of hooking up.
Yeah.
You're like kind of hooking up.
We didn't talk about that.
It
was super serious.
Well, this is like, this is just what happened.
Friends with benefits.
Friends in like, this is just post-graduating. Yeah. What everyone. Yeah.
She was at her potluck Golden Gate.
And so I called Rich and I'm like, Rich, what's the deal? What's the deal with Lee? And you know, I don't think I've ever even met a Lee female because I have an Uncle Lee. So I'm like, it's interesting.
Lee is rather more attractive than anything.
Than all the other Lees.
Yeah, both of Lees. I'm like, so can I call her? What's her phone number? Like, because I wanted to clear it with Rich. I didn't want to step on Rich's toes.
But he wanted to step on her toes.
But yeah.
And he has.
So he's like, he didn't even kind of put two and three.
Oh, we were
like,
not.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, Rich and I had no intention. We were just literally just hanging out. And we were like brother and sister.
No, but I mean him even thinking that you and I.
Oh, it hadn't occurred to him.
No.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I'm like.
So he didn't notice that the whole time you were playing locked on?
What did you think about Lee when you first saw her? When she came out of the car and you were going.
I was like, he's cute.
With your girl were hanging out with.
Oh, the funny thing is, when he said, I'm bringing my friend Lee, he didn't specify.
He thought I was a dude.
I thought I was a guy.
That's right.
You're pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, my friend Lee.
Beautiful girl.
Pleasantly surprised by a beautiful woman rather than a man.
Yeah, right. It was like,
Lee forgot about that part. He was expecting a boy. So then how did it go from there? Like, how did you ask her out on your first, like, official date? Or did you just, like, do that? We shall go rock climbing again tomorrow.
Oh, no,
he did. But like somehow you obviously called me and you asked me out on a date.
Well, it was kind of good seasonal time because
it was right before Christmas.
Yeah, it was like fall and Christmas.
Oh, there's going to be lots of events. Literally before Christmas. So I barely know the guy and he shows up with a climbing harness and says, hey.
Look what
I have you for Christmas. And I'm like, I've
heard about this fetish before.
You're so good. You didn't have your own harness. Here you go. And I literally had some men's boxers at my house that I think I was maybe going to give to my boyfriend after this. I have some boxers for you. But he showed up at my door and he looked extremely handsome. But he had on a striped sweater, wool sweater, and with a collar and a button-down shirt. Hippie-ish. So I was like,
what the fuck?
I was really, it was, because he was in tie-dye pants the day before. Like, this really did not.
You're like, who is this?
I was so confused. And so honestly, at first I was like, well, shit. Wah, wah. But he was really sweet. And we were just talking and talking. And he started telling me how his family went to the Sierras every summer outside Yosemite. And I love the mountains. And he loves the mountains. But we were talking about something I didn't realize. He thought I was more mountainy. I portrayed myself to be like more badass than I believe.
You're pretty badass.
Well, I thought it was more what
I was more technical.
I mean, I didn't know your climbing experience. So I didn't know how outdoorsy you were.
So there's a story here. Where did you take her on the first climb?
Well, the first where we met was in Berkeley Hills.
Yeah, it was like a little
climbing area. Like our real true climbing though was more when we had to put everything on hold.
Well, we put it on hold because 2.5 months after I met him, I was pregnant. Yes.
So that was really, really quick.
That was really quick. So, and the funny thing about that is, there was a couple things. We were talking about this tonight, I had just broken up with that guy, Dan, and did not want another relationship. And it was Christmas. And I went, I saw Stu that night. We went out on that date and he was super cute. You know, like we kissed and stuff, but like, you know, it was fairly innocent. And then, I left and I was in San Diego and he had to go to Oklahoma to his sister's. And he called me at my dad's house and they were like, who are you talking to now? Why do you always need a boyfriend? I'm like, I don't really want a boyfriend. And so, but I remember sitting in their bedroom and talking to him and we were both going back to the city and we were going to meet at a friend of Rich's and everyone for a New Year's party. And so we got back and again, like this dude's like a chameleon. I don't know. He just she keeps changing.
Did he have dreadlocks? And,
I thought he was going to be a biker.
I was in a really cool Victorian flat and he came up the stairway and he came through the door and he was wearing like a blue and he still has it. It's this like J. Crew Hawaiian shirt. And then I realized, like, down the road, like, okay, we got to wear more than shirts. But that night, I was really taking a whole shirt. And he had a little goatee that he grew. And he just
Oh, that's so cute.
Was this mid-90s?
This was 96.
Yes, that was when the goatees were.
Yeah, and so he came in. He looked so good. And so we were sitting on the stairwell. And we're talking. And I could feel his, like, he had his hand there. And I could feel him kind of, like, near my butt. We're talking. And then I turn around. And who's there but Dan? My boyfriend. I was going to get the underwear too.
Okay.
That's where we were all friends, right?
Good. Okay.
So it was just kind of funny. And he's like, hey, bro, you know, yeah, my hand's there.
You were like,
yeah.
Put it on there a little more pronounced.
Yeah.
So, Mom, if you're listening to this, none of this really happened.
But it was over the jeans. But it was, so we fell for each other pretty quickly.
But then I
found out I was pregnant like early and I was actually.
So this would have been like mid-February that you were like,
yeah, January March.
You're on a run.
Because you were training for a marathon, right? Well,
yes, I was.
Yeah,
that's right.
The MS run.
So I was doing not the MS run, but the Leukemia Society. Was training for a marathon and Rich, our friend, he ran a lot too. Mm-hmm. And the three of us would run in Golden Gate Park and I can run and talk. That's where my ADD like kicks in and really is helpful. And so I usually would be like running in front of them, turning around, saying, come on, guys, let's go, you know. Blah, blah, blah. And then Stu and I are running and I'm like so slow.
Yes.
Figure out
what's going on. When I figured it out. I was on a run too.
Oh,
what is wrong with me?
Yes. Oh, I just felt awful. Yeah, so and he said to me, he goes, what about, like, I thought he said, what about an EMT? Because he always wanted to do outdoor adventure classes. So I thought he wanted to do an EMT class. And I said, you know, sweetie, I kind of just became a physical therapist. I don't think I need to become an EMT. He's like, PT, Lee, I think you need a pregnancy test. And I was like,
oh.
So, yeah. And so I was taking a PNF course that weekend and went to the class that day. And I remember having a half top on and, you know, because you're always half naked and all these
things. Oh, yes.
And yeah. I've never had like this little waist, but I was looking at myself. I'm looking rather boxy.
You're supposed to be doing all these nerve pads.
And so I went and bought a car that night because I told someone that I was going to come and buy a car, like this random Jetta. It was the Jetta Trek. You got a bike with it.
I
got the bike with the car that we sold to our friends.
Like literally money. Advertised by
Trek.
By VW. Yeah. We made the Jetta.
The sporty car. Yeah.
Fits in the car perfectly.
You get the rack and the bike with it.
Oh, yeah.
Weird. So I bought that, but then I also bought pregnancy tests. So the next morning I had to take the tests. And so when we spent the night, we're looking at them. And I think I did three of them and they were all positive.
I had an accidental oops positive.
Oh, and so, but we were just, and we walked down to Noah's Bagels because everyone went to big places.
Oh, that was the night.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And my friend Pam pulled up. And she's like, hey, Lee. I'm like, hey, Pam. I say, hey, Pam, this is Stu. We're pregnant. She's just like, that's how she met Stu. She said, oh, is this my dating? I'm like, yeah, we're really dating now.
Just got real.
So I went and did the class that day. And when I came home, Stu had taken the EPT box and he cut it and he took fishing twine and he attached it to all the tests. And
that's hilarious.
It was our baby mobile.
Oh,
That is adorable.
So my urine was suspended over my baby's face. Maybe that explains a lot of his problems.
And you know, I hear he probably peed on you and that's fine. Yeah.
So it was pretty cool because I came home and I'm like, what are we doing? And he's like,
so what was your initial feelings and like when you first?
Well, I want to know, first of all, I want to know, that's so insightful of you, Stu, to kind of
understand that about her before she did even. So what was that? I think that's really amazing that.
Because he's really not medically based.
Yeah.
Surprised to even figure
that
out.
And I was in the middle of school when I was like trying to run and I'm like, why do my boobs like hurt so much? Like,
can't see,
No, it's a good, I don't know. I don't know what kind of spurred me to think, you know, check something there.
No.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was something. Oh, and it gets better because I had already started raising money for the Leukemia Society because right after we met, I went to something called the Hoffman process. It's a quadrinity process of figuring out your physical, emotional, spiritual, and intellectual self. And it's amazing. Yeah. He did it several years later. And it really was quite amazing. And I remember when I came back from that, I was like, we're good. So we were in a very good place.
What was it called? The Hoffman?
The Hoffman process.
I have heard about that.
Yeah, it's great.
How did you hear about it? What was it?
My stepmom had done it. She was really metaphysical and had done a lot of these things, and she wanted to be a practitioner doing it. And she did it, and my dad had done it, and they wanted me to do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was really cool. So I had just done that, and it really put me in this great place. I wasn't planning to definitely go have a baby by then, but I was at least in a decent headspace, you know? I met a lot of people that had a lot of money. And so when I was doing my Leukemia Society, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, you send it out to everybody. So I'd raised quite a bit. But then I, like, couldn't run because I was like a fishbowl. There's no way I would have been 6 months pregnant. Yeah. So I had to write letters to everyone like, thank you for your support. I'm actually pregnant. I'm not going to be able to do it. But I met this wonderful man named Stuart. And blah, blah.
I hope one for me.
Yeah. Well, and he goes, he looks at the letter and he goes, that's such a nice letter, but that's not how you spelled my name. I wrote it like Martha, and he's S-T-U-A-R-T. Oh my god! So just taking it one day at a time.
You're not out as you go.
But there's never any question you're gonna have.
Later. No.
Tyler, so this is for you.
Never a question. And I lived with my roommate. At that time, he was moving into my apartment in the city, and I was going to move out and live in Potrero Hill where the sun actually shone, and he was going to live with my roommate from school.
Versus all the fog where we were.
He just wanted to be in the city. So then my roommate let him just move in with us, and we all lived together for a little bit.
That's sweet.
And then he ended up being really nice and moving out because there's rent control in the city. And it wasn't a great place that we had, but it was only $800 a month. And we were there until Tyler was almost two. Yeah, we were there a while.
What a nice roommate.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Thank you, Steph.
Oh, okay, wait. So you guys were living, was it the three of you?
Uh-huh.
So Stefan?
Uh-huh.
And then your two-year-old.
Oh, no. I was pregnant.
No, when she was
pregnant. When you were pregnant.
Well, he moved out while we were pregnant.
And he was a fellow student.
So we were really close to UCSF.
Yeah, that's
right. I was like, because at some point, he's like, I don't want to be up at night.
No. He moved out. We had the place. And we were there with Tyler till I was 8 months pregnant with our second. Yeah, that's a whole other story. But we never were good planners because they were both surprises.
I mean,
gotta be consistent, you know?
And how far, so you have, what? Tell me about your children.
They're 2 years, 2 months and a day apart. Okay. Yeah. And so we got pregnant with Aiden.
Born November 1997. And
Aiden's January 2000. Yeah. I think I was showing Stu the lingerie I got at the bachelorette party at my bridal shower, maybe. And they were like, seriously, you're not allowed to look at me, okay? Well, and as the boys, as they were getting older, we just kept saying, you know, the pull-out method doesn't work and you're both proof.
That's true.
That's awful.
Okay,
so two kids. Mm-hmm. And where are they at now?
One's in Bozeman. Even the younger, just starting to transfer from junior college to big boy college, Montana State.
Cool. Yeah. 5,000 careers at 25.
Yeah, he's had a lot of, he's done a lot. He's actually had a trades career before and carpentry and a building, a truck driver.
He's
a truck driver.
He couldn't quite figure out what he wanted.
But those are skills he'll carry with him.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's doing that.
Yeah. And our older son, Tyler, finished USC down in LA. Yeah. And he's been working for a director. And then now he's taking 2 or 3 weeks off and he's going to India for a friend's wedding.
And after all this schooling, he's decided he wants to be an actor.
in LA.
Wait.
Yes.
That's
cool. Well, he has something he can do.
Hey,
and
you know, I said just pay your bills. We just want you to be happy. So we'll see.
Exactly.
That's
he's cool.
He's got the vibe for it and the look, you know, but I think it's a dog year.
It is. Yeah.
But it's interesting. He's doing it, but he's going to go to India and have some great adventure. I'm jealous because I want to go.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be so cool.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So you guys have been empty nested for like six, seven.
Yeah.
Tyler actually lived with us for a little while. He had to come back.
Over the pandemic. Because we moved up here 2020. Uh-huh. I know we went way off this thing. We moved up here 2020. Uh-huh. Tyler was living here for 2 years before we did in Coeur d'Alene. Because he came up here.
Did you get here before or after the COVID hit?
We got here right when it started. We got here.
So before the price hikes went through the roof?
This is a great place to be.
Did you guys beat that?
Yeah.
You just beat it?
It started going up.
Yeah.
It
started, like, we got here and our house had gone. It was going up, but it went up another 400,000 after we bought it.
Yeah.
Crazy. So, yeah, we got very lucky.
It was insane that year.
No, we got very lucky. Yeah, and our son had lived here because both our kids, Tyler had took a year off and then he got very depressed and couldn't stay at college, and our other son was getting in trouble with drugs, and we actually yanked him and sent him to Utah, and we found this whole world of programs to help kids struggling.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah, Tyler went off. Yeah, it was like,
did you find them like really helpful?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Were they the outdoor survival
lived
programs?
Outside for three months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard wonderful things
about
those.
Some people say, oh, they're so bad. They're so brutal to those kids. But I think it's like the primal stream for these kids where they're
getting off technology.
Oh, they're off
which
everything.
I think is huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was good for him. But he was always our wild one. And then we didn't know Tyler had issues with depression and stuff. And he took that time off and he went to school and he had to come back. And we had it was traumatic getting Aiden to Utah, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And I said to Stu, like, Tyler's coming back from school. We always do all this stuff to help Aiden. I didn't want Tyler to have yet another year off and to be there because he was depressed. And I said, you know, maybe there's something we could find. And we found a program up in Sandpoint. And I was like, Stu, you want to live in Idaho, this one area. So maybe Tyler could go there. So he came up here, changed his life. That was great. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that, yeah, like we'd already been thinking about this area, but he definitely solidified it.
So I think that it's really, having children is amazing, but it's also a struggle.
Yeah.
And as a couple, you have to really work together to manage these situations that come about. And it happens with every parent. You know, we all have these things and we want our children to be the happiest they possibly can be. And how, as a parent and a couple, do you make that happen or help them see their best life? You know, and it sounds like you guys really worked together on that, but tell me a little more about that.
Yeah. Not easily.
Yeah. Well, we were always very different. It was very confusing for our kids because Stu was definitely the Christian father who would go to church on Sundays, and I was the yoga mama that would go be with the deities. Like, you know, and I you know, grew up Catholic and all that stuff, but they would literally go, Mommy, why are you an atheist? And Dad does this. And I'd have to try to explain, like, I'm not. And I think Tyler's whole college essay was about growing up with this dichotomy of, like, my mom is here and my dad is here, but they both really actually love each other and we're all really close, but we weren't. I think they thought it was confusing at first, but then they appreciated that they saw two very different views that could still come together. But it took us a long time to learn.
And not only that, but I think politically you guys think differently too.
Oh, big time.
And so, and I just, like, with how the nation is right now, I'm like, we need people like you to teach us how to, like, behave and live. Because it's like, you know what? One view is not the only view. It truly isn't. And
well,
yet,
just go knock up your girlfriend and then, hey.
I mean,
see, he would never admit that he trapped me. He's finally.
Come on, what do you mean? I mean, you had me at.
I know, so look, like, what is the secret? Like, how does that work? Like, how do you guys, what do you think it is? If you had to put a name on it.
I think we both have come from good, I mean, different family backgrounds.
You saying mom's not good?
Just kidding. No, you get to talk about your own. But I mean, I think my dad and mom stayed together, you know, throughout their whole marriage. That was great. My dad passed in 95, right around the time I was
graduating. Before I met him.
Yeah, before, yeah. Just before.
Yeah.
About a year before. So, you know, I mean, I've always just wanted to kind of model that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a father who was his wife and at home. I wanted the 2.5 kids and the dog, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Whatever, yeah. You know? So, yeah, I mean, I definitely drank the Kool-Aid, and that was what I, you know, you're very close to your dad. And so it was nice because she had a strong dad figure in her life.
Nice.
And so, and mom, I mean, I know you and your mom too, but they were separated early for her. But, you know, so I know that that's always been tough on you, but I think we both right away were like, we're going to make this work somehow. Mm-hmm. Come hell or high water, we'll figure it out. You know, there's no books to read.
No.
It might have been.
It's your first time being a parent.
I hated reading those books. I'll figure it out.
Well, I think it kind of says a lot when you two, after just figuring that out and are at the grocery store that day, you're like, and we're going to do this. You know, like just for you guys, just to the fact that that was the initial response for both of you. You were just like, we're not even questioning this. Right. Like, this is just what's happening, and we're going to
It was. And, you know, it was interesting at the time because, you know, I'm in San Francisco, and we were the first of, like, we were 27, but no one was having babies.
Of all of your friends.
Oh, yeah. And even the physician that I went to go see, I knew her from the hospital because I was working at a hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, she, you know, not that the EPT wasn't correct, but I went and had an official test, and she goes, well, I'm not going to send you to an OBGYN until you have time to think about whether you want an abortion. And I just said, well, why would you not just give me the referral? And she goes, I need you to think about it. And I'm not, this isn't like a political thing. I wasn't one way or another, but I was like, why are you assuming that that's my option right now? Like, if just give me my referral. And I was just really not like, she was kind of on the, you don't know this guy, you're young, you're starting your career, you need to keep moving. And so, and then later she wanted to be like my family doctor. And I was like, oh, hell no.
No.
Just because like, I think I kind of felt like, you know,
very presumptive.
You're pushing your own agenda.
She was definitely, she was single, she was in the medical field, and she's like, you know, come be with me in the single world. You know, it was just very, and again, it wasn't political, it wasn't religious, but it came out of nowhere. And then I was like, okay. And then I had to go to, we went to San Diego. He'd never met my dad. And my dad was the first person I told I was pregnant.
How did that go down?
Hi, nice to meet you, sir. Told your dad.
Congratulations.
I told your dad.
I told my dad, but then we went down there and he said, I'm taking your husband. I'm taking Stuart to coffee. And I was like, and he takes him to Denny's. So of course I'm mortified. But what did he say? Like, my daughter's an independent woman with a family who loves her. And if you're sticking around because she's knocked up, you can leave. What did you say? Like, that's kind of actually.
Yeah, pretty much that. That was it. Yeah, but I said, yeah, no, that was the, no, I mean, I, you know, he was.
He did the right dad thing.
Yeah, he did the right dad thing for his daughter. And I, you know, I mean, he was kind of giving me the out, you know, in a weird way. He was like, you know, you could, you know, if you want to bail, this is.
She's a prize if you're not going to treat her like one, get the fuck
But I was like, I love your daughter. Because I fell head over heels for Lee when I met her. So, I mean, there was no like, oh gosh, we made a mistake.
So cute.
She's not that cute. No, it wasn't hard. For some reason it just didn't. I mean, we were broke. We were young and career people. We're like, no, we'll figure it out. And I think actually at that some point I don't know, I'm just now reliving this, but I think both families, both sides were like, if you guys are gonna do this, we'll all help and make it work.
So you guys had a lot of support.
We did.
But you didn't have much family living down there with you. So, like, you guys
not.
Right. No local family.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were in the Bay Area. We were like, so that was good. You know,
were your friends?
You guys were kind of alone.
Figuring it out. Aunts and aunts. Yeah. Like, I'm the uncle. I'm the aunt. Yeah.
I had met his mom, and I'm the luckiest human. Like, I have the best mother-in-law. But then I had to go to Easter at his sister's house, and they're evangelical Christians. And I showed up just feeling like,
and you're a balloon now.
Well, it was right at the beginning. Okay. So, April. So not too much, but they all knew I was pregnant and I had to show up and just be like,
And meeting them for the first time.
Yeah. And I think his sister, Sharon, I was totally afraid of her. And she thought I was this Canadian woman that was going to steal her brother away. Because they already weren't happy that he went to Berkeley. They thought it radicalized him a little bit. And then now he needs me. I make him make me pregnant. I make him leave with our illegitimate child that I made him give me.
Oh, wow.
Canada. But no, they were all amazing. But just tell them what you told me on the way. I never knew this, that you talked to Sharon before.
Because I was just so afraid of her.
At one point, I remember, I think it was at Deloitte. I was literally at the office late at night. So it would have been like January-ish, February-ish. I forget where. So when we say Sharon, she's the sister. I have three older sisters. She's the one closest to me, 4 years mm-hmm. older. So, we grew up closer together than my oldest two sisters who are much older, not much older. And so, it was probably just a catch-up call with Sharon. I'm like, oh, I met this gal. I really like her. She's fun. And we hang out and she likes the outdoors. And I told her about Tioga. Tioga's the Eastern Sierras near Yosemite where mm-hmm. she, Lee said, we go every summer. What we used to, but every other summer. And she's like, that's great. I can't remember the whole
conversation. Before I was pregnant. So she did know that we actually really liked it, which is huge.
Yeah.
And no one was forcing us to get married, which was great. His mom suggested it softly, but we were like, we're going to wait until.
Yeah,
we did. And we had lots of rocky. We planned a wedding 10 months after Tyler was born. But I, of course, then had postpartum depression nightmare and really good postpartum depression. And so we postponed the wedding and did it when we were 16, when he was 16 months. And it was perfect. And we literally would have even gone to the Caribbean with all his Deloitte points for our honeymoon and been in the biggest hurricane that was there. We got married in Sausalito across from San Francisco. And it was just this great little boutique hotel in the hills. And it had been foggy and it was perfectly sunny that day. Years down the road, it's become a drug rehab place.
These are all, like I said, things that you guys really have had to work through together as a couple. Postpartum depression is really hard, not on you.
Well, it is. Really
his
hard
partner
on
as well.
So props to you, sir.
Did you understand what was going on at first or how?
I did because there's a lot of mental illness in my family, and I knew that I was getting depressed. And actually, I think before the first time we slept together, I just had to have him know that I was taking Prozac. I wanted him to know that you're potentially about to make a bond with someone who might be crazy. I just need you to know this. I said that one of the things, I don't know about you, but I come from a family with similar. So I just remember when I was in my early 20s and stuff like that, just knowing, hey, listen, I'm still not through the woods yet. Yeah. Don't know how it'll turn out for me. I got 1 in 5 chance of being. Hopefully it's one of my brothers or sisters because there's 5 of us. But you know what I'm saying? It's you need to know this.
Oh, it got real when she broke out a piece of paper and made me sign it.
Was it in blood? Because that's what I did.
He does have a couple of etch marks.
I really needed him to know that. And I was all pretty good.
I don't know if you've ever known this. In college, there was, in my friend group in college, there was an unfortunate situation with one of our good friends. And she had a whole manic episode. So I kind of, first time I ever learned of what all this was in college, And so seeing her go through her struggles and being hospitalized and going visiting her at the hospital. It was kind of in my
this
family.
This is somebody that you knew and loved, and you're like, they're just human.
Exactly.
Who would you kick into the curb if they had, diabetes and needed to take insulin?
And, stuff had started to, fog had started to lift, I guess, over our societal, concept and
the stigmas.
The stigmas, right?
Yeah.
So I think the stigmas were going away. So So when she said,
because I got a lot of crazy in my family, but everyone would always say, how are you so normal? But later we found out I have bipolar two. So I've never had the full manic break like my one son. I started, especially they were giving me Prozac. So I was ramping up and down and.
Oh, she was fun.
He was so good. There was one time where I think it was right after my mom died. It was very tragic how she died. And I think I really lost my mind. And I was like, I'm leaving Stu. I'm going to live my life and I'm going to do this. And I don't even remember taking him to a restaurant and trying to break up with him, try to tell you that I wanted to leave you or whatever. And I couldn't understand why he never wanted to go to the Naked Cafe. Why don't you want to go there? And he's like, because you like wanted to leave me. You told me we were done. But he put up with so much. And, you know, I obviously got my head back together and realized this was the right man to be with. It took a lot. It took a lot of learning. He had to learn a lot because he was a little more faith-based at the beginning and thought the faith, if I had more faith, my mental health would be better. And so there was educational fit.
Well, we are all still learning.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
Yeah. There's some good books that she introduced me to. You know, I got to. So, yeah, there's great
books. Well, Faith is such a wonderful thing for you, too, as a resource that you have in order to help tap give you the patience and, you know, and tap into that, too. So it's really wonderful how you both had the information. You were definitely not people are going to shy away from it. And, you know,
and you
had the resources
to like to connect.
So because of these things, were you, were you able to help your son because of all of this experience?
Sure. It's, I think I grew up in a family that you didn't talk about the mental health stuff. It was just crazy. And so I really wanted to help the kids because I saw them. And my older one, we didn't know he had the issues at first. And our younger was just ADD and wild always. But poor Stu, because when they were about grade 3, grade 5 or a little younger, I had to be hospitalized for 2 weeks. And it was awful. I hadn't done anything, but I was so afraid. I grew up with a very suicidal mom and I felt suicidal. And so I made them take me to the hospital. But then, once I was there, I was mad and wanted to leave. And it was awful for him. And but, you know, we made it through all that. And then, you know, flash forward, we had to take my son to the same hospital. Oh, and I'm walking in there going, wow, this is weird. And poor Stu is like, here we go again. Then flash forward, who went there first, Aiden or Tyler? Tyler and then Aiden. And then our other son, we had to put him there a little bit before we had to get him to Utah. So this stupid hospital, we spent a lot of time.
At that point, I'm like, what is in our water?
I just think a lot of awareness. A lot of awareness because, I mean, seriously, it is what it is.
And it is.
Who are the people who step up and handle it with love in a family? And who are the people who
run or pretend it's not happening?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we were fortunate, you know, I had a good career. Healthcare was good. And so,
it's so terrible. Mental health is not.
See people on the streets and I'm like, I am just blessed that, you know, that I come from a family that loves me and I've always had support and my mental health is not as bad as it, you know, could be like with some people, but that I don't have addiction, that I don't have all these things. And then I have a husband that's very supportive because Lisa knows, like I can, when I need to take a break, I take a break. And it's what we've tried to also tell our kids, like be responsible.
But it all comes from just self-awareness.
Yes.
I mean, like self-awareness, the ability to pick up on your early cues, the ability to know what your resources are, to communicate with the people around you. I mean, that's all of that is so huge. So
when I think just the fact that you communicated to Stu immediately, like you barely knew him.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to lay it on the table. I just think that that is so huge because that opened up that like, are you somebody that's going to like support and understand or shy away? And you're honest and open. And there's a, it's like, it's okay to talk about right out the gate.
Because that was
she doesn't struggle for shyness though.
No,
I know. But I just think that's a big deal.
That's so much fun in your life.
If you don't talk about it,
sunshine.
But you guys have really been through some big hurdles together, and you really sound like you just support each other in so many ways. So amazing, and then you're here, and you're still together, and you still love each other so much.
You can see it.
What is that, you know, when you go through those really hard times with anybody and you can make it out, it makes you appreciate and love each other so much more. I'd like to hear what you appreciate and love about each other.
What's your favorite thing about
each? You're going first?
Should we rock, paper, scissors?
I don't know. You should start.
I think, you know, what I love about Lee is her sense of adventure. I mean, that hasn't gone away. And
that was in our vows.
We should pull those out again.
That's cute.
But I mean, so that's one. And then the striving. I mean, there's always, you know, striving to keep healthy, keep trying, keep wanting a little bit. I mean, not wanting, you know,
not more stuff.
Not more stuff. She's always, but just growth. Like, yeah, just general growth. Personal growth. And
I totally see that.
Yep. You know, there's more to do. And so, and yeah, it's great. a lot more things that we could do. And I've even told her, I'm like, it's almost like we're dating now. Almost like for really
we never the really first time.
We didn't date. We didn't Thanks. Really
no,
date.
We were like, pregnant so quick. He didn't even know what I looked like. Like once I lost the baby weight, he's like, oh, wait.
I have this vision of Holly and Elaine.
So maybe part of that's it. Like just in the sense of like, I want to date her, you know, for the first time. So I put up with the 20 odd years that we had to put up with.
I thank you a lot for all his patience, but it pays off, right? Stu is very patient. Appreciate, like, you know, in therapy, I'll work with people and they say, oh, you are so patient.
You are.
How do you do this? But I am so not patient, like with family, you know, like you can always do it for work. But
yes, I think you get exhausted by being patient.
Yes.
That you like leash out on your family. Like
totally.
Well, and I think that when you get to go and they're like, oh, go be on.
Yeah.
Like you can go and be on. You can be amazing. For but it's like when you have to be amazing day in and day
out. Oh, I know.
Oh my God, this is so exhausting.
Or our favorite activity is just sitting on the couch, hanging out with the dog, looking at stupid shows.
And he used to never watch TV. Like when the kids were younger, I would, when they were teenagers and, you know, it was hard to pin them down. You either put them in a car where, you know, they had to talk to you or you brought them for food where they had to talk to you.
Yeah.
Or I would sit on the couch and watch shows and stupid. I shouldn't be doing that. It was weird. Like you just, he just wouldn't. And so like, as you relaxed and now you'll actually sit and like hang and we'll like watch our little shows together.
Well, I was always like, is there homework done?
I know, is there something to do? And I'm like, you've just got to find time to relax.
I
know,
I was pretty, pretty uptight.
He was very, And I'm not. I'm like, fly by the seat of the pants. So I like it that Stu is organized. We would get nothing done. We wouldn't have anything saved. We wouldn't have plans, really, if it wasn't for Stu. And he is fun. He'll always go out and adventure and do.
Well, I love how you're always like, he's going to make me do this like ski, hikey, trippy thing. And I'm like, that sounds awful.
But we come in on her, it was really romantic and sweaty. It's fun. We try to push each other that way, which is good. You know, but we also like, I'm glad we both have paddle boards and not, we tried to do a canoe once. Like, we don't always, I don't like to follow direction very well.
So no tandem bike rides for you.
Oh, well, she says that would be the worst.
Oh, the worst. We did get a boat and we've been doing the wake surfing and that's been fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like surfing together. Yeah. But yeah, I guess.
Well, you're kind of have opposites, but seem to come together
it's complimentary.
In this amazing way.
Yeah.
It is complimentary.
You both
and, and I think I feel that you love the opposites. And the other person.
I think that actually is a big thing.
Opposites do attract. I really think. I remember when I first met his mom before I was pregnant and she would do these elder hostels and she was in the Bay Area and Stu had stayed over something and I did his laundry and I always used to put a lipstick in my pocket, forget about it, and wash it. So Stu's wearing this damn white shirt with lipstick marks. And she's like, honey, what's wrong? And I said, I did his laundry and I put lipstick in or whatever. She had said to me, I think it was then, she goes, Stu never cuddled his other girlfriend the way he cuddles you. It was really sweet. She's like, I've never seen him like this with the girl. And so I was like, oh, and she used to say that a lot too, like even after the kids. But I remember that. I was like, really? So that was kind of.
Yeah.
Moms? We were good cuddlers. Very effective.
Everything they tell you in high school.
Yeah. It's been, we are different, but we complement each other.
Yes, and I think you guys appreciate your differences. And I think that, like, if the world could just learn to appreciate that something that is different than them is wonderful.
Well, I think it would be amazing. But I also think you both have similar values and that, you know, you value, we're going to try hard, we're going to work hard, we're going to be there and we're going to make it work. Like what you said, we're going to make it work and we're going to keep striving for better, for improvement, for growth.
I think we both know that there's just some things that in our, like you brought up, you know, today's society and our world, blah, blah, of things that we could get our heads wrapped around way too tight. like politics.
Yeah.
Is a good example, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think we both have just said that's just a non-starter in terms of being something that we go after so intensely and get real political about, whatever. You know, either one side or the other, whatever. Yeah. It's like we'll talk about it.
Every blue moon, it gets a little heated.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, and
that's gonna happen.
As it should.
She brings up all this stuff, and it's like, and it's actually kind of true because there is an idiot who kind of not runs, you know.
He promised.
So it's like, so even though I'm a very, I am a hard broken in terms of just my economic sense and whatever,
yeah,
and my foundational.
There's a lot of great things.
We're quite different. Yeah. I'm very red.
Right.
And they're very blue.
Right.
And so we even talk about this too, how like just even in friendships and stuff, how you overcome that.
Because it's not all about that.
Yeah. No, and there's so much more.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
There's way too many other things that we can be putting our time and energy to go do or think about then.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got that skiing, hiking, what is it? Like survive on a glacier? Seriously, that's where you should be putting your energy.
Right.
It's like, be aware of what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, I think that if everybody thinks the same, even in a relationship, there's going to be no conflict. There's going to be no growth.
No growth.
And I think it's you so important to have that.
Perception.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I think it's beautiful that you respect that. Understand it and you use that to fuel like better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the whole reason, like a lot of the reason we are doing this podcast is just because we do want people to just love each other for like, just let's forget about all those other things. Mm-hmm. Why do I love you? Why do we love each other? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the human and that we love.
Yes.
Like I love the human Valerie is and the human Lisa is. You know, sometimes other things are just other things.
So many things to connect on other than what the world wants us to connect. And that's the other thing. It's the world is trying to drive it into us. Like, this is so important. That is not.
Yeah, and
I mean,
most people, only a very small portion of the people on the planet want bad for other people.
Right.
Most people are good. Mm-hmm. And most people want good for everyone around them and want to be able to thrive and succeed. We just have different ideas about how to get there.
Yes.
But there's even one way to get there.
And if you only think there's one way, then you're losing all of the creativity and all of the new opportunities. And so I think like when you guys are talking and stuff like that, it seems like you guys do a really good job of hitting the differences and just being really grounded in the fact that you both are just solid people who care.
And I do believe he's more mature than I am. And he's like, he's not quite as
I don't struggle with that.
Yeah, like I've been impulsive and I shout it out and he's so
kind of.
And he'll let me do my thing.
I'm back.
And then I just kind of.
Well, I'd love to hear your advice for, you know, other couples because she's like, and just listen to your story. You've been through so much together. And you still are so in love and appreciate.
You're still dating.
And you're dating. And, you know, what advice you have for everyone else?
Gosh, I guess part of it is like not to listen to other people. Mm-hmm. Like I used to have people in San Francisco be like, how can you be married to a Republican? And I didn't think about politics that day. And I'm like, I'm married to Stu. You know, I didn't categorize him. And my mom had her own issues and she'd come and when I started getting depressed, she'd kind of say, well, this is because Stu's not buying you this or this is because you guys aren't doing that because that was her own story. And I would have my feelings with Stu and I knew how supportive he was and how much we loved each other. Mm-hmm. But I would listen to stories other people were telling me like, maybe he isn't right. He, you know what? He's not going to yoga. He, you know, and it was just like stupid stuff. Like when it came down to me, like when I'm with Stu, like, how do I feel? Like, this is the guy that I still want to hold his hand and I want to hang out and I want to be with him. And
well, just look at how you two turn into each other. Even here, it's so cute.
I'm surprised she's not crawled over.
Usually, we get therapy to check up because I'm usually like this. Talking, and we were in therapy one time. Maybe he had a pink shirt on, and I think I had some tie-dye something. And she's like, just the picture of you two. And we were not doing that great at that.
And for listeners, but Lee is almost sitting.
She's pretty much crawled over.
Arm around.
This is kind of how I sleep at night, too. Like, I sleep half over him because the dogs were my legs don't, and I sleep that way. So,
What's your advice? What's magic, Steve?
Oh, gosh. You know, and actually, that's a good point. I don't think there is any magic. I think it's work. I mean, think it's work. And it's not sugarcoated because it takes daily. And it's really kind of a daily.
Yeah.
It's a daily job.
You get out of whack with you.
It's not easy.
And, you know, I don't want to bring the word job into it. Like, okay, guys, this is a drudgery job. But it's a work. It's a job.
You get a payout, though, too.
Staying on hard to like work.
Or maybe hard.
Well, sometimes we're working on ourselves too to make a relationship. Yeah.
All relationships are hard.
Yes.
Just, you know, you put time and energy into it and you are rewarded with what I'm looking at right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You focus on the good things. Yeah. You know, there's just, and I really believe in living my life with a lot of gratitude, and Stu's always at the top of the list. It's pretty awesome.
And I'll be honest, I'm success driven. I mean, most of all of us, right? I mean, so I, personally, it's in, and I don't know if this is a neurosis or not, but like, it's like, I don't want to fail, you know? And so I want this to work. And so I will work at it to make it work. And I will listen more and
my ramble.
Yeah, what's the term? You know, it's important to, I think also in success is to give up ego, to give up all of your, you know, beliefs or like,
I'm right,
how it works. And this is how my family did it. Mm-hmm, and this is how we're going to have to make it work. And you're going to have to mold into that.
You kind of tried that.
So in the beginning,
that doesn't work.
Yeah. We didn't even date. So it's like, okay, this is how it's going to be.
He's like, this is how my dad did it. I'm like, well, that's great. And whenever he wants something, I say, well, he goes, well, this is how my mom did it. I said, well, why don't you go live with her? And we figured that out, that I was not going to be like his mother. I am not super strong like his mother. I love his mother, but I wasn't going to do it that way.
And now with our boys, now the bigger picture is like, you know, doggone it, they're going to see a loving husband and wife, mom and dad.
Love it.
They're going to, we are going to make sure that's what they have grown up.
Well, that's kind of what I heard you first talking about your upbringing. That's what I took out of that was like, you saw your parents that were supportive and loving, and you said, that's what I want in my life.
Yeah. And
you
was
made
later,
that choice.
Right. And it was later that I realized that they had their own struggles. Yeah. I thought growing up, like, you know,
baby boy.
It was perfect. Yeah. And I was. I was a baby boy who got, you know, coddled all the way through.
Youngest after three girls.
Yeah. After three girls. Yeah.
After four years of a break, we'll try one last time.
I didn't think that he could handle me because I came from such a crazy family. And he seemed so normal. And then once I got to know them all, I'm like, they're not that.
No,
who is
nobody
is.
Yeah.
And his mom and I talked a lot about it. Like, I can talk about anything with anybody, and I overshare. It's one thing I overshare.
Sorry, a little too much, but I wanted to talk. Just don't join a podcast.
No, that would be very
overshare. I usually have to go, I'm so honey.
And that was hard for me to learn that he isn't overshare. I was like, why are we talking about this?
And here you are.
I've just given up. I just rolled my eyes. I got a good eye roll.
Just so you know, I was like, I have got to hear like from Stu because he sounds amazing. Her oversharing is nothing but positive things about you. There you go. Yeah. But that was wonderful advice. I mean, I love it. Thank you. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I can't wait for everyone to hear this. It's got a lot of good stuff to share. So for you listeners out there, if you want to write in www.myperfectromance.com. All of the W's, all the dots, and all the coms is how you find us. Otherwise, it'll take you to that movie.
It's true.
But we'd love to hear from you, too.
Thank you. XOXO.
Thank you, Leo.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.